when the Bible speaks about being born again, it does not mean filled with the Spirit in the sense in which certain theological groups utilize it. To be born again means to be born again. It means to be born from above, to be born of the Spirit, to be filled with His Holy Spirit, or as the King James uses it, Holy Ghost. To be filled with His Holy Spirit is something more than just to be born again. According to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 give us the great truth regarding the new birth, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto what? Righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. To confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, to believe God raised him from the dead, is to be saved. And what is it to be saved? In Colossians 1:27, to be born again of God's Spirit is to have Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of what? Glory. This is the greatness of the new birth. Now the word filled, or the word fill, or the word full, or the word fullness, this, or these root words, have at least 10 or more different Greek words. These 10 or more different Greek words are all translated to fill, or to be full, or fullness. We are not concerned about all the words that are used and translated this way. We are concerned basically about two words of that group. And those two words describe every detail, every facet of knowledge that we presently know that's available to us out of the Word regarding the new birth and the fullness in manifestation of that birth. The Aramaic word for full is the word mala, spelled M-A-L-A. There is only one basic Aramaic word. There are, as I said, 10 different Greek words that give us the little different shades of meaning of the usages of words. Tonight we will apply the principles that I've taught in every foundational class across the nation, namely that the individual word has to fit in the verse, and that all the words in that verse have to fit with that individual word like a hand fits in a glove. Secondly, that the individual words in a verse have to be fitted within the context. They must be understood within the context of that which the story or the record is dealing with. This is how a word's usage is determined. You go to the word and you determine its usage in the whole word from how is that individual word used in the verse. How is the verse used in the context? There is a usage of the word filled, which is not the type of filling we're going to be talking about tonight, but I need to show you two or three verses to acclimatize you in your mind to thinking of other words that mean to be full besides those two basic Greek words that I'm going to be dealing with in a few moments. In the Gospel of Matthew, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. Now, they shall be filled. The word filled there is not the type of word that we're going to be dealing with when I get into the new birth and the Holy Spirit field tonight. You'll find the same truth in chapter 14 of Matthew. And in verse 20, Matthew 14, verse 20, and you'll understand the word filled here is the same word as the one from Matthew, much better now. And they did all eat and were filled. They did all eat and were filled. Now that filling has variations in it. Because somebody to get full has to have 3 pieces of apple pie. While somebody else only needs 1 piece. You understand the mashed potatoes and gravy and steak along the same line. And the hamburgers and soup. So there is a point of filling where a person would say, I'm filled, but it's not the fullness or the filled that we're going to be dealing with. This is an entirely different Greek word. The same thing is true in chapter 15 of Matthew. In verse 37, and they did all eat and were filled. Same truth. They ate till they were satisfied. That's the word filled. Now, the 2 Greek words that we want to deal with, and I'm not concerned about Greek in these great wonderful sessions because I don't expect you people to know a lot of Greek. I'm giving you only the Greek words so that we can use them as springboards, because every word that I'll be using tonight in English will be one or the other of these 2 words, and I'll tell you when they vary because there's a slight variation in meaning. And I'll share it with you. The root word of the word filled, of the 2 Greek words we want to deal with, the root is this word spelled P-I-M-P-L-E-M-I. Pimpalemi. This is the word. P-I-M-P-L-E-M-I. This is the root word of the word filled that we're going to be dealing with in every record that we're taking up a little later on. That word filled, that Greek word translated filled, means filled to overflowing. It's used in 2 ways, Mr. Cummins told me, in Greek literature as in the Word of God and in all Greek. It's used when a river has swollen to where the water is flowing all over the banks. A swollen river. That's its usage. Or it's used describing a full moon. Now, when he said full moon, I asked in my mind, what's that got to do with it? And really, a full moon is overflowing in its brilliance. Yet all the time, even in the first quarter, the full moon is there. It's always there, but it's never like that, overflowing until it's full. That's why lovers can't use it until that time. Because they're full, I guess. Now, the prefix of this word is interesting. This prefix of that word is, the prefix is pi, pi. The prefix pi is used whenever it means much more fullness. And they add the pi. And this becomes really interesting to those of us who have been deeply concerned about accuracy and semantic usage of words. In the word pistis, translated believing, the word pistis is spelled P-I-S-T-I-S. Believing, as I've taught you in the class, is a verb. A verb connotes what? action. That's why they put the PI on the front of it. It's full and overflowing. It's action. You're on the move. That's why the word pistis is used. PI is the prefix. Now, this root word is the word out of which the Greek word comes that we're going to be using all evening long, which is the word filled. And they did this by contracting the root word. They took the PI and made it P. They dropped the MP, the military police, and just took the L. Just took the L. And then they added they put the E down, same thing here, brought it down, and added the ending of so. Aletho. Aletho. This is the word. It's a contraction of the root word. P-L-E-T-H-O. That word then means filled to overflowing. The other word, also the same basic root, same basic thing, is the word palet ro'o, ra'o, ra'o, I guess, palet ra'o, P-L-E, long E-R-O-O, long O. Now that word, palerao, is simply filled like a river is filled in its natural or normal flow. Got it? Because the reason this is true is because of this ending, of the ending ro or rao. That ending, like the prefix pi meant much more fullness, this ending means full to a normal fullness, a normal flow. In Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Elizabeth's full time. Do you see that word? When a woman's full time has come, what does she do? She delivers the what? Baby. That's what that word is. Isn't that a wonderful usage? That's its first usage in the Gospel of Luke. This word, paletho. Filled to overflowing. When the fullness of time was come, we just read from Luke, when Elizabeth's full time came, now we're reading about God's fullness of time, and the word full is this word filled to overflowing. When the fullness of time came, who came? The Lord Jesus Christ. Overflowing. In Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 9. For in him, in Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the what? Fullness of the Godhead bodily. The fullness of God, God's overflowing out of Jesus Christ. That's the word fullness there. And this should ring a real bell in your heart and life, because to overflow with the power of God in you, like God in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, is simply that he manifested it. Remember what Jesus said, he who has seen me hath seen who? The Father. You see, Jesus Christ declared the Father. Hexagekomai. He made him know. Now, Jesus said, I always do my Father's what? Will. He said to one group once, believe in me and in the Father for my very work's sake. He was always overflowing with God's presence and power declaring God. That's its use. Now, according to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, a very familiar verse of Scripture. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see, what? The kingdom of God. Verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit, right. What was Jesus doing with Nicodemus? Teaching, that's all. He said, except a man be born again, converted, saved, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water, first birth, and of the Spirit, second birth, he cannot enter in. And he turns right around and says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So you have two kinds of birth, a natural birth and a spiritual birth. This is what he told Nicodemus when he taught him. And now in John 20, just before Jesus Christ ascended, he taught something else. He not only taught the new birth to Nicodemus, but in John 20, and in verse 22, appearing with the apostles just before the ascension, and when he had said this, verse 22 of John 20, he breathed on them. First of all, the word them is in italics in the King James. Scratch it. The word on is the word in. He breathed in. He breathed in like this, class. He breathed in. And saith unto them, receive. And the word receive is not a subjective reception. It's an objective reception where the subject receives it into manifestation. It's lambano ye panuma hagio, lambano the Spirit. He breathed in of verse 22 is what he had told to Nicodemus, that a man must be born again. That word filled is one word. We'll see it later on. When you're born again of God's Spirit, that's one deal. But when you manifest forth that of which you're born, it is something more. Here in verse 22, you have both the new birth and the manifestation. He breathed in is the new birth. When they breathed in, they believed God, they were born again of God's Spirit, and the word receive is lambano, then what did they do? They manifested the pneuma hagion, the Spirit, the gift that they had just received. I want to show you an illustration here that I've prepared that I believe teaches these two words very, very beautifully. This glass represents the body of man. This on the inside represents the soul. Now, when the Spirit comes in, when a man confesses with his mouth the Lord Jesus, believe God raised him from the dead, this man of body and soul. Now when I'm speaking of the soul, I'm speaking like I taught you in the class, that which makes you you. Your whole being. All that you are. Now, when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe God raised him from the dead, when Jesus said he breathed in, then they were filled with the Spirit, like this. You see how it's absorbed in every part of our being? Every part of the being, the soul, the person, is all filled. Now, there it's full. That is the new birth filling. He breathed on them. Then he said, receive ye into manifestation is this, when they were full, filled, there. Now the running over. The running over is the fullness. That's the biblical usage of these words throughout the entire Bible, all the way through. It's still filled like most church people not doing anything. Still filled because they're born again of God's Spirit. If you're born again of God's Spirit, you have what? Eternal life. This fullness, the fullness, the filling of the new birth is always associated with the overflow, every incident in the Bible. That's the remarkable thing. But before I read you all of those, let me read you one more from John 7 that ought to just bless your heart and electrify your soul. John 7. Perhaps we ought to hold John 7 in abeyance a minute while I read Acts 1 with you. It's all right. We'll be back here. We're going to cover a voluminous amount of scripture tonight. And when you go home, you'll have something to think about the rest of the night. Acts chapter 1. These are very familiar to you people, grads of my classes. But let's go once more with Acts 1 verse 5. The day of the ascension, Jesus said to the 12 apostles, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be what? Baptized with or in pneumahagion. That filling of that tumbler with that water a minute ago is this baptizing in pneumahagion of verse 5. Then verse 8 follows right upon that, but ye shall receive, and the word receive is lambano. You shall overflow it, manifest power, dynamis, after that the Holy Ghost is coming to you, and then you shall be witnesses unto me. Witnesses unto me. Witnesses. Witnesses to him. Now watch here again. I'll show it to you once more. A man here is no witness. There's no witness there. There is no witness. But the moment ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. There is the witnessing as it flows over. That's what Acts 1:8 says. Now turn to John 7. Bless your heart. Real demonstration. I bet the children would enjoy that, even the older ones. John 7. Here is a verse of scripture again before the day of Pentecost. Verse 38. Jesus said, in verse 37, the latter part, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and do what? Drink. But for, verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the river says, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Living water. Living water is going to flow out of his belly, out of the innermost part of his being. You see, it's just not into, but out of. And not just a trickle. Not just a trickle, but out of him shall flow what? Rivers. Just like that glass, just overflowing all over. Not just one little drop, but a trickle. No, never. A river all the way out of him. Now, this spake he of the Spirit. Verse 39 says it as plain as day. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should, lambano, receive in a manifestation. That's something. That's why he's talking Out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. He's talking about the fullness that is overflowing. Four. The Pneuma Hagion, Holy Spirit, was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He had not yet risen from the dead and ascended to heaven. Pentecost had not yet come. And you and I know that nobody could receive the new birth and be filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit, filled with it, until it became available, and didn't become available till the day of Pentecost. That's why we turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 4, historically give us the new birth and the overflowing fullness of that new birth. Had God been able to have it all said at one time, it'd all be in one word. But it's impossible to tell everything at one time, so you tell one thing, then you add something else, then you add something else. Verses 1 to 4 in Acts 2 are just like that. They are just one. That's all there is to it. But God cannot communicate to us in words unless he sets it systematically. 1, 2, 3. That's why there are four verses needed to tell the whole record. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, which are the same words as of a heavy breathing in John 20 we read a little while ago. There was a heavy breathing, and it's the breathing, that which they breathed in, filled all the house where they were sitting. Now the word filled in verse 2 is this word, play. Ra'o, P-L-E-R-O-O, which simply means filled with full potential, filled to capacity, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's filled to capacity. That's all he is. He can't give any more. He is what he is, no more and no less. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And we have learned from the word that those rushing mighty winds, same as he breathed in of John 20. When these 12 apostles class on the day of Pentecost, when they breathed in, what did they do? They confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus, believed God raised him from the dead, and they were what? Saved. That's why it's used. They breathed in. At the time they breathed in, they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's why they were filled with this particular fullness. The plerao type of fullness. They were filled with that fullness which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The one Nicodemus was talked about. Jesus talked to Nicodemus about. That's what they received when they were filled in verse 2. Now, verse 4 says, and they were all filled with Pneuma Hagion and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. The word filled here is this word, paletho, filled to overflowing. It overflowed. And when it overflowed in verse 4, they were all filled in overflowing with the gift. And when the gift is filled to overflowing, look what verse 4 said they did. That's the proof it was flowing. They began to speak with what? Other tongues. The speaking in other tongues is one of the nine manifestations of the Spirit, which is the overflowing. The overflowing has nine potential, dynamic, powerful manifestations in it. speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and healing. They're all in the overflowing of that inherent power which God has given us when it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't that something? I said if God could have done it, he'd have taken all four of those verses and put them on one because it's one experience. The filling of verse 2 is the inherent. The filling in verse 4 is the external manifestation of that inherent filling. And when they manifested, it says they spoke with other tongues. It was overflowing. And then it's a remarkable thing how it says in verse 4 that they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit gave them utterance. They did the speaking. Now watch it again. They did the speaking, but as they spoke, God had to feed that Spirit on the inside. That's the only way you can get the flow. There's the overflowing. And it's in that overflowing that the manifestations are the indication of the power within the life of the believer. Now that's its usage every place in the new birth and in the book of Acts. Now, let's go to chapter 4. In the church on the day of Pentecost, and in the church of the first century, whenever people were born again of God's Spirit, immediately they were to overflow. It was just not the natural, normal filling of the capacity, but it was the overflowing which should be there, and usually was, with the exception of one record, then God had to do something about it. But in Acts chapter 4 and in verse 8, we read the following. Then Peter, filled with pneumahagion, Holy Spirit. Peter filled to overflowing with pneumahagion. Now that is a tremendous thing because being filled with it was overflowing. How do you think Peter was able to know all of these things that appear up here in the fourth chapter? Because in the overflowing, you have 9 manifestations. And operating word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits is what the word's telling us in verse 8. Verse 31, same chapter. And when they had prayed, this is after Peter and John had delivered the word, healed that fellow. And when they went back finally after they'd been beaten and scared by the authorities, they returned to their prayer people, verse 31. And they had a prayer meeting. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with pneumahagion. Again, it's the word filled with to overflowing. That's the word here. They were all filled. It doesn't say they were refilled. The theologians who believe in receiving the Holy Spirit basically all teach that a man gets filled and then he leaks out. You know, if you work, you leak out. And when it's finally leaked out enough and the pressure's on that you have to have power, God puts more back in. That doesn't stand the context or the text of the usage of this word. I want to tell you, God's not in the leaking out business. People's theology may be, but not our God. Not the one who sent the Lord Jesus Christ. He keeps us filled all the time. Look at it. Where they were assembled together, it says, and they were all filled. All of them there were full to overflowing, operating manifestations of the Spirit, one among which is speaking in tongues and others interpretation of tongues. And others prophecy. What do you think happened at that prayer meeting? They didn't bake cookies or brownies. They had a real, real powerful spiritual meeting among the believers. That's what that word filled tells you. Filled to overflowing. They were operating manifestations. In Acts chapter 6, and in verse 3, when they selected these people from among the disciples, they said, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of pneumahagion, full of the Spirit." The word full here is full to overflowing. Men who were operating manifestations, not just people who came along and said, "Well, I'm born again, because I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe God raised him from the dead, and I go to church every morning, Sunday morning, sit in the front pew, and I pay my tithes, and I real good to the preacher." No, I didn't ask him any of those questions. They had to be men who were filled to overflowing. Operating manifestations of the Spirit. They wouldn't settle for any less. In chapter 7, and I'm taking them through systematically in Acts 1 right after the other. Acts 7, all of their usages. Verse 55. Acts 7, 55. But he, talking about Stephen, being full of pneumahagion, of the gift, being filled with it. And the word full here is, again, is full to overflowing in manifestation. Stephen, the man whom they stoned, was a man who was operating manifestations of the Spirit. He was filled or full to overflowing with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 8, and this is the first time in the history of the Christian church that when people were born again of God's Spirit, they didn't automatically manifest anything. So Peter and John came down from Jerusalem, and in verse 15 it says what they did. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might lambano, manifest pneumahagion. They were filled like this class. Look here. They were filled, but they weren't manifesting anything. They weren't even dripping. No manifestation. That's right. That's why verse 16 tells you this. For as yet, he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Doesn't that settle the greatness of it again? To be baptized in is to have that Christ in you, which is the hope of glory, which is the new birth. But as yet he was fallen upon none of them in fullness. They had not overflowed. This word here in Acts 17, or 16 it is, in Acts 8:16, is the word epipipto, P-I-P-T-O, with the prefix epi. It's only used twice in here, and it's added, and I want to give it to you. Epipipto is used in a war when the fella is shot down and he falls down completely. To fall over is the word epipipto. Same word as to overflow. Same basic usage as overflowing. When a man is walking, he isn't falling down, but when he gives all of himself, his complete life falls over completely. The enemy has destroyed him in war. That's the word they use, epipipto. So here, as yet he was fallen upon none of them, means grammatically, semantically, and biblically, the usage means it was not in manifestation. So they came down, prayed for them that they might lambano. That's why verse 17 says, they laid their hands on them and they received, they lambanoed, they manifested pneumahagion, the Holy Spirit, that gift, now started falling over and running on the outside. In Acts chapter 9, and in verse 17, and Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with Pneuma Hagion, the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. The commentaries teach that Paul was not born again until he now here received the Holy Spirit. That is not true. Because Paul confessed the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. His Hebrew name is Saul, his Greek name is Paul. Same name. On the road to Damascus, he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. But on the road to Damascus, he didn't overflow with anything. He didn't lambano anything. So when Ananias comes in to minister to him, he calls him Brother Saul. Ananias would never have called him Brother Saul had he not been spiritually a brother to him. God must have told him this before he was ever sent by God to minister to Saul. God told Ananias this. Sure. That's why he says, verse 17, Brother Saul calls him a brother. He was born again of God's Spirit before. But he says, he came, God sent him, Ananias, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with what? Spiritually was he filled. Had he decomied? Yes, but he had not what? Lambanoed. He hadn't manifest. He was born again, but he hadn't received anything in the manifestation yet. That's why the word filled in verse 17 is the word filled to overflowing. Same word. The same word. Paletho. Filled to overflowing abundance. Something, isn't it? Keep your finger here and look in 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians 12, verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord. Lord where? In his life. But by Pneuma Hagion, but by the overflowing, don't you see the essence of the truth? No man can say that he's really made Jesus Lord in his life unless he keeps it overflowing, but by Pneuma Hagion. And the Apostle Paul, when Ananias came, he came and said to Paul or Saul, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be overflowing, filled with Pneuma Hagion. He must have been, because in 1 Corinthians 14, 18, if you look at it, Paul says, by God's word, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than what? He must have been overflowing abundantly to do that. He just wasn't trinkling. Out of their belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Sometimes people will come along and they'll say, well, speaking in tongues went out with the apostles. Well, if it went out with the apostles, you wouldn't know it. Because the same verse of Scripture that says tongues shall cease says knowledge has vanished away. 1 Corinthians 13. And if knowledge vanished away, how would people know tongues ceased? By sheer logic. That's right. But you see, they're trying to deprecate, trying to make the things of God like as if they're not things of God. God does not change. Which reminds me of a wonderful letter I had this week in the office, I guess, where a fellow said, the thing that convinced him in the tape class of the greatness of God and his power was the statement in one of the words of God when we had read with him and he had read it, that with God there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And he said that convinced him that the word had to be right. Because if there was a variableness with God or a shadow of turning with God, then you couldn't trust anything in God's word. And if you can't trust anything, you have nothing. So it's either all God's word or none of it. It got through to him on that one little verse. Isn't it interesting how one person gets touched by one verse and somebody else gets touched by another verse? So here, you have this tremendous truth. Look in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And in verse 44, I'll read it in a moment. The engineers are telling me we've got 2 minutes till we go off a broadcast. So you people who have been listening to the broadcast tonight, I'm again sorry that we're right in the depth of the teaching ministry. But we only present this broadcast for an hour every Sunday night. And we can just do so much teaching in an hour, and we're a biblical research center. We're not a church service where the minister puts a cough drop in his mouth and lasts 20 minutes and we go home. We are a group of research men and women. We're people who are concerned about the accuracy and the integrity of God's word. And if we make it in an hour and a half, it's wonderful. If it takes two, it's wonderful. We're never in a hurry when it comes to working God's word. And I want to tell you people something. You can't learn God's word in 20 minutes. It even took God longer to give his son than that. So you might as well take some time to study God's word and get to the depth of it, because in the greatness of that word is truth, and his word liveth and abideth forever. And I'm thankful for the time we've had together and the time you've had to listen. And you people, if you would like a copy of this that I'm teaching, if you'll write to The Way this week, just write The Way, New Knoxville, Ohio. When this is published, it will be published within the next 3-4 months or so, and when it's all finally worked down and published, I'll send you a copy free and postpaid. You can't do anything better than that. You don't have to pay for it. We'll just send it to you. So if you'll write to me, The Way, spelled T-H-E, capital W-A-Y, New Knoxville, Ohio, send you one when it's published. All right, thank you. God bless you. Have a good week all week. Don't the rest of you go home now. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost, the pneuma hagion, fell on them which heard the word. The word fell is the word overflowed. Holy, it overflowed. Well, if it overflowed, there was a manifestation. And the second verse after that tells you the manifestation in verse 46. For they heard them speak with what? Tongues. In verse 45, it's already there, if I'd have just seen it a moment earlier. And they of the circumcision which believed were assembled, as many as came with Peter, because were astonished, as many as came with, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out. Well, when you pour it out, you got a lot. Overflowing. That's why the word fell is that word, overflowing. For they heard them speak with tongues. In chapter 11, Peter is called on the carpet in Jerusalem to give a testimony of why he went to Cornelius' house and did all those things. And he tells in verse 15, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost, the pneuma hagion, fell on them as on us at the beginning. And here the word fell is epipipto. To fall over, all the way over, 11:15. Isn't that wonderful? In Acts chapter 13, and in verse 9, then Saul, who also is called what? Paul, filled with pneuma hagion, set his eyes on him, and the word filled is filled to overflowing. He was operating manifestation. That's why he was able to do what verses 10 and following declare. In verse 52 of the same chapter, and the disciples were filled with joy and with pneuma hagion. This is the second usage now of these tremendous words. This one is the word plerao. P-L-E-R-A-O, this word filled. This is the second time it's used in the book of Acts, or in the New Testament here. And the disciples were plerao, filled with joy and with pneuma hagion. They were filled to capacity. They were just happy in the Lord. They weren't manifesting anything. Got it? Have you ever been that way? You've just been satisfied? and just happy in the Lord. That's why, look at the word. They were filled with joy, and I told you joy's an inside job. Happiness depends upon the material surroundings. But joy is deeper. Joy is an inside. And that declaration, he said they shook the dust off of their feet, and the disciples were just filled with joy and with pneumahagion, just natural flow of happiness and gratefulness and thanksgiving and love and joy and peace. That's why it's play of the hope there. Acts 19. And in verse 6, because in verse 1, when Paul gets to Corinth, he passed through the upper coast, he came to Ephesus, and he found disciples. They were already born again. They had redecomized. They had received on the inside. But verse 6 says, Paul laid his hands on them. Then the pneumahagion came on them, and they spake with what? Tongues. Again, the fullness in overflowing is always demanded in every situation where people are born again of God's Spirit. Now there's one final one regarding the Spirit in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and this is the third usage now of this word, plerao, P-L-E-R-O-O. This is its third usage and last usage in the word. And it again refers to that depth of quietness of which you've been filled. Like the glass here, before it was overflowing, it was full. That's its usage. And it declares, be not drunk with wine, verse 18. But be what? Filled by the Spirit, or with the Spirit. That verse 18 then tells us about the new birth, about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled, plerao, in the innermost part of you. Christ in you, all the way through, is that usage. Now, people, that concludes everything regarding the Holy Spirit, the new birth, and the Holy Spirit that's used in the Word. You may keep your finger here in Ephesians. I'm coming back in a moment. But I want to show you a few more verses from Luke 1. For instance, verse 41. And it came to pass, Luke 1, 41, that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with pneumahagion. And the word filled is filled to overflowing, because she gave a word of prophecy. In verse 67, same chapter, and talking about Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, and his father Zacharias was filled to overflowing, is the word, with pneumahagion, and he what? Prophesied. The usage is true all the way through the Word. In chapter 5 of the Gospel of Luke. 5, verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. And the word filled is full to overflowing. The fish were jumping out of the boat on the both sides. Hey, they had a good fishing time, didn't they? Poor fellows must have gone up northern Ohio fishing the lake. Isn't that an interesting usage? It really adds to that verse, doesn't it? They had so many fish in that boat, they were falling all over the outside, full to overflowing. No wonder they had to have a little help. I thought that was real interesting. Chapter 6, verse 11. This is a good one. And they were all filled with madness. They were all filled. The word filled is filled to overflowing. See? They were all filled with madness. They were really teed off. They communed one with another how they might, what they might do to Jesus, how they might take him. They were so angry, they were out there looking for him to get him to do something. They took action on how to get him. They were filled to overflowing with anger, madness. In Acts chapter 5 is the usage I'd like to show to you. After these apostles had ministered the word and so forth, in verse 28 of chapter 5, you have this record saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? This was what they tried to scare them with. They said, you can use any other name, but you just do not teach in the name of Jesus. If you do, you're really going to get whipped the next time. This first time was just a warning. Next time you're really going to get it. Therefore, they said, you should not teach in this name. And behold, this is their testimony. Ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. And the word filled is filled to overflowing. Well, what do you think they talked about? The weather. Farming, crops, business, bank stocks, Wall Street Journal. No. How are you going to get Jerusalem filled with the teaching of the apostles unless somebody teaches? Filled to overflowing. Isn't that an interesting usage of the word filled? Same word. Now, I said I'd be back to Ephesians. I'm ready. Ephesians 3. Filled with the doctrine of the Word of God, all Jerusalem. Now look at Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The word filled is the word filled to overflowing. Abundantly overflowing. With all the fullness of God. Isn't that a lovely use? And I'd like to close with Colossians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 1. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And the word there, filled, is the word filled to overflow. Isn't this a wonderful prayer? And this is my prayer for you people and all of God's people too. And I'm sure it's your prayer for me. That we might be filled, desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. And the only way you can know God's will is to know God's word. You can't read a commentary or a newspaper or a periodical or any other thing except God's word if you want to know God's will. So quit trying. Quit wasting your time in the Lord. Just go read the word. Desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and in great, wonderful, magnificent spiritual understanding. Filled, can you imagine filled with spiritual understanding where you just overflow with it? Filled with the wisdom of God, filled with the knowledge of God, which we get from his word, in overflowing. Perhaps that's how the doctrine got to penetrating all of Jerusalem, because they were filled. He said, you filled the whole city with your doctrine. Because the knowledge of his word was dwelling within them. Well, people, that's the biblical usage. And what I understand tonight of the word filled, regarding its usage in the new birth, as well as in the manifestations that are involved when you're filled with his power.